We are up to Megillah, Perek Dalid. I'm going to start from something very interesting in Parshas Toldos. About a year ago, by the Kriyas HaTorah, in Parshas Toldos, the following pasuk was leaned after Yaakov took the brachas from Esav. It says, "Kishmoya Esav as divrei aviv," when Esav heard the words of his father, "Hayitzak tzalka gedolu umara ad mo'ed." So he cried out, "Tzaaka gedolu umara," loud, a great and bitter cry, "ad mo'ed," very far or very great. So as soon as the pasuk was leaned, it dawned upon me that there's another pasuk that's very similar, and I wonder if there's a connection. What's the pasuk that's similar? And Megillas Esther says that Mordechai screamed such a cry, "Vayizak tzaaka gedolu umara," that Mordechai cried out such as Zaaka Gedolah, a loud and bitter cry. Very, very similar language. So it was by the Ben Gavra Lagavra of Kriyas HaTorah, I turned to the person next to me and I said, "You know, I wonder if there's a connection here. It could be that the connection is that Yaakov, even though he had the right to take the brachas, he was really the Bukhar and his mother sent him and he deserved it, and a kol tov yafeh. But Lemaisa, through his actions, he ended up causing some tsar to his brother Esav, even though Esav's a Rasha. But could be there's some shemitz of a taina upon him that has to be fixed, and that came back later on by Mordechai. We know that Mordechai and Haman, their fight was really a continuation of the original difficulties between Yaakov and his brother Esav. The hemshech of that was Mordechai and Haman. So it could be that the payback, so to speak, for this pain of Esav came through the pain of Mordechai. That's what I, you know, thought to, and I said to the person next to me. He said, "Mechatesa, bring me a raya. How do you know?" Okay. Kids, I came home after davening, and I set it over by the table, and we had a guest, and he says, "You know, I was looking in the medrash this morning, and listen to the following medrash. Listen to this medrash. Says, Kishmoya Esav es divrei aviv, medrash rabba, perek samach zayin, dalet. Kishmoya Esav es divrei aviv, omer Rabbi Chanina. Call me Shuoimer, Shakodesh Baruch Hu Vatron." Anybody who says that Hakodesh Baruch Hu is a Vatron means that he just lets things go without any reaction. Who? Yitoisrin Bnei Mayoyi. His own stomach will become Hefker. And as you say that Hakodesh Baruch Hu acts like with Hefkeris, he just lets things go by and doesn't do anything about them, that's going to happen to you. Because it's not true. What's the truth? Elamarech ape, Hashem sometimes takes a very long time. He extends his anger of a govi delay. Eventually, everything gets evened out. Everybody that does something wrong has to pay for it, unless he does tshuva, but that's a form of paying for it, perhaps. Everything has to get paid for. Everything has to even out. Zaaka achas, this is the Medrash continues, it says, Zaaka achas, one cry, Hizik Yaakov le'esav, Yaakov caused Esav to cry out. Tchsiv kishmoya Esav is divrei aviv, vayizak zaaka, veheichan nifraloi, and it got paid back. Yaakov also had it. When did it get paid back? Says the Medrash. B'shushan abira shenema vayizak zaaka gedolu umara. Now Mordechai also cried out zaaka gedolu umara. The Medrash actually says ad ma'od. The Marzu says, "What do you mean, Ad Mo'ed?" But Mordechai doesn't say Ad Mo'ed. Tzarachin, I think Tzarachin is on the Medrash, but I want to explain that anyways. So, Baruch Shekivanti, that's Mamash Tepshat, that this Vayitzak Tzok Gedol Umara Ad Mo'ed of Esav came back many days later when Mordechai also cried out to Zaaka Gedolah Umara Ad Mo'ed. I was thinking that could be the Ad Mo'ed, and in the Megillah it does not say Ad Mo'ed. In the Pasuk and Chumash it says Ad Mo'ed. Could be one of the Rimazim that the Pasuk is hinting at is that this cry, this Tzaka Gedayl Umara Ad Ma'id of Esav's, was a Tzaka Gedayl Umara Ad until Ma'id. Ma'id is Oisiyos Mem Aleph Dalid. Ma'id is Megillas Esther Dalid. That's the parak of Megillas Esther where this payback occurs. That even a tzaddik like Yaakov, you hurt somebody, you cause him tzar, even if you did it b'tzaddik, you had the right to do it. But if you cause them, maybe there's a little extra tzar, maybe this tzar wasn't my gilo, you have to get paid back for it. The Rebbe Hashem is going to even it out. Could be generations later, even if a tzaddik caused pain to a Russia. So that could be the ad ma'oid, is ad Megillas Esther Dalid. Well, I was thinking ma'oid could be ad until Ma'id is Mordechai, Esther, and Daniel, because the story over here with Mordechai and Esther, they communicated using Daniel, Hasach, according to some Pirushim is Daniel. So that's Ma'id. Mordechai, Esther, Daniel. Or Megillas Esther Dalet, as you like it. B'chol Eifin, that by itself is Baruch Hashem, a beautiful pshat, but really it goes much deeper than this. Because I think we spoke about this once in the past, that these two brothers, that you see an interesting connection between them. And you find this connection coming up again by Mordechai. Who are these brothers? They're Yehuda and Binyamin. Right? So it was a very special connection. There is still, till today, a special connection between Yehuda and Binyamin. The Beis HaMikdash stands in the Chelik of Yehuda and Binyamin. We talked about the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was really the ultimate result of what Esther and Mordechai accomplished, was that they got to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and that stands in the Chelik. Mordechai, Yehuda and Binyamin are the two Shvatim that the kings of Klal Yisrael came from. And Moshe Shapiro once, I asked him once, what's the special kesher between them, and he said that Yehuda is the Oisfir, he's the finishing off, the finalization of Binyamin. Klal Yisrael in the great Mifzaim starts with Binyamin, or sometimes Yosef, the Bnei Rachel, and the finishing, the continuation of that, and the Hemshech, and the finalization is Shevet Yehuda, which is why you'll have first the Mashiach ben Yosef to start the Geula, and then a finishing and a finalization of it with Yehuda. And that's why Yehuda was, Yehuda the person, the Shevet, was so important that he took on Arvus for his brother Binyamin, and he was willing to give himself up so that Binyamin could go back to his father. He said, the Pasuk says, Ki eich ele el avi, how can I go back to my father? Mahanar, and the young one, Binyamin, enenu iti, is not going to be with me. Or Moshe Shapiro told me, he said, there's an unbelievable remez over here, that the two of them together, Yehuda and Binyamin, they represent, in a certain sense, the shleimus of Klal Yisrael. You find this, the mashal, by the fact that there's the Aseres HaShvatim that were lost, and the two Shvatim that were not lost were Yehuda and Binyamin. That, in a certain way, encompasses all of Klal Yisrael. He says, but B'derech Remez, you find it in the Pasuk. The Gematria of Yehuda is 30, the Gematria of Binyamin is 152. Together, they're 182, which is the Gematria of Yaakov. Ki eich ele elavi, how can I get up to, how can I ascend or reach my father in Gematria, but also in much deeper things, much more fundamental things, I should say. V'hanar inenu iti, if this child, Binyamin is not with me. Now, lamar ba'apela, we know that Mordechai himself was described in the Megillah as being from both Ish Yehudi and Ish Yemini. And Gemara says, well, was he Ish Yehudi? Was he from Shevet Yehuda? Was he from Shevet Binyamin? The Gemara gives a number of terutzim, among them that he had the milus of both. He was Mukhtar bin Yimusim. He was crowned with the milus of both Yehuda and Binyamin, primarily in that he stood up to Avodah Zarah. He didn't bow down to Haman. He stood up against him. Now, remember, what was the Maila of Binyamin against Avodah Zarah? Where did Binyamin get his Gevaldige Maila from? From the great clash of Yaakov and Esav when they met in Parshas VeYishlach. Esav came and Yaakov bowed to him. Not only did Yaakov bow to him, but all of the brothers bowed to him. The only one who didn't bow down to Esav was Binyamin. Not because he overcame the Nisayon. He wasn't there yet. He wasn't born yet. But as the Brisker Rav says, he didn't do it because he wasn't there. But Lamaisi, he didn't do it. He didn't have that Shemetz of soul in him. And that was one of the reasons why Mordechai was able to be Mizgaber on Haman, was from the fact that his grandfather, Binyamin, hadn't bowed down to him. That's one aspect of Ish Yemini. Ish Yehudi also was called a Koifer Bavai Dezara, Nikri Yehudi. Gemara says, anybody who publicly stands up for the covet of the Rebbeinu Shalom, Zemkad Hashem Shemayim Berabim, and goes against the Avodah Zarah like Mordechai did, he's called the Yehudi, and that's why Mordechai was called the Ish Yehudi. So you see that Mordechai, within himself, it's encompassed the milos of Yehuda and Binyamin, again, the two together with equal Yaakov. So this is the idea that he was the one that now standing up against Esau was able to pay back with his tzar, the tzar that had been caused to Esau. The emesis is brought down in Svarim that Haman was not only a descendant of Esau, but he was actually a Gilgal of his. And Mordechai was at an Iber of Yaakov Avinu, so it's even more deep than what we just said. It's not just that they were the Hemshech, the continuation of this age-old brotherly vikuach. They were actually the very neshamas of Yaakov and Esav back in this world, settling or continuing this eternal battle, eternal up until Yemos HaMashiach, when it's going to be decided once and for all. And it's brought in Svarim that's why Mordechai showed him his yerech, he showed him his leg, because that was the thing that it says that the Malach of Esav, when it managed to be Pogaya and Poigim in Yaakov's leg, it was because of Yaakov's having bowed down to Esav. That's why the leg was vulnerable. The leg is an important part of bowing down, of Ishtachavoya. Mordechai said, I don't bow to you. That was the tikkun of both the Hishtachavoya to actual Avodah Zarah, or close to actual Avodah Zarah by Nebuchadnezzar, and it was the tikkun of Yaakov Avinu, even though there was reasons why Yaakov bowed down, and he had to do it, and it was done correctly, but Lamaisa, there was the Hishtachavoya to Esav HaRosh, and that had to be fixed. So that's the Oymek HaDavar over here. Actually find one other thing, I'll show you, very interesting, where this Yaakov seems to be a combination of the two Shvatim, when the Meraglim, specifically the two Shvatim, Yehuda and Binyamin, when the Meraglim went to Eretz Yisrael, so we know that there were 10 Meraglim that didn't do the correct thing, and 2 Meraglim that were good, Yeshua and Kalev. Yeshua was from Shevet Ephraim, and Kalev was from Shevet Yehuda. Again, you see this combination over here of the two Shvatim. Now, what's very interesting is that the two Milas, each of them had a particular Mila that the Pasuk talks about. Yeshua's Mila, many Milas, but the Mila that we're most familiar with is that he was a Talmud that never went out. He was a Nali Yomish Mitoicha Oil. He never went out of, he was the greatest Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he never left the Oil Shel Torah. Kalev, you don't find that specifically. Later you find the Sneil Ben Knaz that he was great in Torah, but at the time of the Meraglim, the Maila of Kalev that we find is that he went to Davin by the Kivrei Ovis, right? He went to the Maris of Machpelah to Davin. That's the Maila you find specifically mentioned by Kalev. So it's brought down in the Midrashim that when it says Hakol Kol Yaakov, the Yaakov has two Mailas. Two koilos. One is the koil of tefillah and one is the koil of Torah. Right? The koil of Bismedish and the koil of Beis HaKnesses. Those are the two koilos of Yankov Avinu. And we see over here that these two Meraglim, these two great people, Kolev and Yeshua, represented these two Milas. They, each one of them was specifically great in that area. Yeshua was great in the Limud HaTorah. One Kol of Yaakov. Kolev was great in the Tefillah, the other Kol of Yaakov. And together they represented the Kol Kol Yaakov. Now, what's very interesting is that when they came back, so it says in the pasuk that Kolev is special because Ekev Hoiser Ruach Acheres Imoy. That's what he gets. He's going to come into Eretz Yisrael because he had another Ruach with him. He went against the Ruach of the Meraglim and he battled against them. But it's brought that specifically when it says Ekev Hoiser Ruach Acheres Imoy, what was the Ruach Acheres that he had? He had what is brought in Pirkei Avos was called the Ruach Shvala. He had an Ava. He was an Anav. Anav is understood to be something which allows a person to be mispal properly. He's machni himself to the Rebbeinu Shalom. He's mevatel himself completely. And that allows for the Koyach HaTfilah. Kolev had this Ekev Hoiser Ruach Acheres Imoy. And that's why he was able to say, Ki Toivah Ha'aretz Ma'oid Ma'oid. Right, the Lashon Ma'oid Ma'oid, we find Ma'oid Ma'oid Havei Shval Ruach. Specifically relates to the idea of someone being a Shval Ruach. And that relates to Eretz Yisrael, to Eretz Canaan. The Medrash says, Ki Toivah Ha'aretz Ma'oid Ma'oid, that Shaykh to the Ma'oid Ma'oid Havei Shval Ruach is called Eretz Canaan because it's, the Gemara says that it's Nikta B'Hachno. A person has to have Hachno. You can't come to Eretz Yisrael as a Balgaiv and expect that the land's going to bow to you. Going to make you bow to it if you want to be kind to it. At whatever level, whatever darga you want to be kind to it, whatever level of ruchnius, you have to come with hachno. And that was Kolev's zechiah. That was the Ekev Hoiser Ruach Acheres Imoy. So I just wanted to say like this, Kumta is an amazing thing. Yeshua, as we know, his real name, his original name was Hoshea. Became Yeshua when Moshe Rabbeinu added a yud. Kolev was Ekev Hoiser Ruach Acheres. He was the Ekev, the Oyev Yisrael says, and it's Pashat, it's obvious in the name, Yaakov's name consists of two parts, Yud, Ekev. Yud is connected to Koyach HaTorah, that's the Chochmah, that's Barosh. Ekev is the idea of the heel, that from head to toe, Yaakov was a Koyma Shleim, it was a perfection of a person, but it represents specifically, Yud is the Koyach HaTorah, the Chochmah, Kesar Chochmah, Ekev is the heel, which represents a person being mashpil himself. Those two people together, Yeshua and Kolev, Yeshua provided the yud, that was the Keser Chochma, that was the Limud HaTorah, that was the first coil of Yaakov. Kolev represented the second coil, which is the Koyach HaTfilah, the Koyach of being mashpil oneself in order to be Masliach and to accomplish in Tefillah, and together they made the Yud Ekev, which is Yaakov. That's the Koyim Shleim of Yaakov. Once again, we see these two interacting. The Shevet Yosef, in this case, Shevet Ephraim of Hoshea ben Nun, and Shevet Yehuda of Kolev ben Yefuna, acting in tandem to create a perfect representation of Yaakov Avinu of Klal Yisrael, and allow them to come into Eretz Yisrael. Now, there's one more thing which is really mamash phenomenal, like this, that right away anybody who's seeing this vart and seeing this medrash says, wait, how come in the Torah it says, one lashon says tza'aka, and the Megillah says tza'aka, where does it change? So there's different understandings you could say. Esav said tza'aka, so one way to understand it is that tza'aka is a somewhat less weighty, a lighter version of Zilka. Zilka comes from a deeper place. It's possible to say that Esav, his cry was a chitzoniistic cry. He was losing money, he was losing gashmias, he was losing a good time in this world. So he cried, but it was a more of a surface cry, a tzi'aka, as opposed to a zi'aka. If you speak to Bali Diktuk, they understand that this is what, that's one difference between them. Another idea could be that when it says that Esav was tzi'oko, it starts with a tzadi, and Moshe Enkim and Mordechai, it's zi'oko with a zayin.
You could possibly say that Esav's cry was caused by Yaakov, who was a tzaddik, and Mordechai's cry was caused by Esav through the koyach of Zion, through the koyach of the weapons of the Kli Zion of Esav. You have to know if that's emes. You have to know what Mordechai was really crying about. Could be it's not so, that it wasn't because of the weapons. He wasn't afraid of the weapons. He was afraid of the ruchniyus. So I'm not sure I would say that. But what I would say, and I think it's emes la'amitoi, is like this. If you make the cheshbon, the Torah says tzaka, but when the Megillah writes it, it says zi'aka. That's the payback. Why is that? Because zi'aka in Gematria is 182. Zion is 7, and Ayin is 77, and Kuf is 177, and He is 182. Which, as we mentioned before, is exactly the Gematria of the word Yaakov, the name Yaakov. And that's the remez that the Megillah is telling us. The reason why it changes it from tzi'aka to zi'aka is to give us a remez, to give us a hint, and say, this cry, this zi'aka, that's Yaakov. That's the reason why this cry had to happen. Okay, everybody say? With Imam Sheikh Mirtz Hashem next year with Esther going into Achashverosh.